Hey you, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Papers Podcast for Tuesday, the 12th of March, 2024. My name is Richie Allen, and I hope I find you well. This morning, it's wet, it's miserable, it's horrible, it's awful out there. It is in the northwest anyway. I've had a soaking. I came home drenched into the skin after walking the puppies. Anyway, you don't care, do you? It's all right. How are you? Look at the front pages of the papers before looking inside. Lots of Irish people happy today as they arrive across the Irish Sea as they land in the UK. The Cheltenham Horse Racing Festival opens today. The annual pilgrimage for Irish GG fans. It's a massive big deal for horse racing. The paper, some of the papers carrying stories about the annual invasion. Do you like horse racing, do you, dearest of listeners? I don't particularly care for it myself. I've never been into it. So I'm a rarity, really, a Munster rarity. A lot of pals of mine back home, they love it. And I've known many people over the years who, while they don't travel to Cheltenham, they actually take annual leave from work so that they can spend their afternoons in pubs getting pissed up. Most Irish pubs, of course, are situated near enough to a bookies. So they'll spend their days, the next few days anyway, getting pissed up, drinking Guinness, while wandering, ambling from the pub to the bookies to back whichever horse they feel has the best chance in the next race. So Cheltenham today. Anyway, shall we look at the front pages of the papers? Metro, Kate's photo bomb. Princess admits I doctored photo in bid to defuse royal picture row. Bizarre story this. On Sunday, Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day, the Princess of Wales released a photograph of her and her three children. It was published by the media. Then the media ditched it. The media issued a kill order to, well, basically the owners of the publication said, right, get rid of the story, ditch it, drop it. Because it was discovered by photo editors that the photograph she had published had been heavily edited. It had been photoshopped. A lot of confusion around this story. She's admitted editing it and has apologised for it, but they will not release the original image, and that has fueled conspiracy theories about Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales. The Daily Mirror. Picture of chaos. Family snap fallout. Kate sorry for editing image. Daily Mirror. Daily Mail. Headline, front page. How did Kate photo become a PR disaster? Princess issues extraordinary mea culpa after picture she edited helped fuel wild conspiracy theories about her health. The Sun. Lay off Kate is the headline. The Sun says, stop bullying over edited pic. By the way, looking at the front pages of the tabloids, they all contain a free bet. A free Cheltenham bet. So various bookies have sponsored the front pages of today's newspapers. If you want a free bet, you can pick up a copy of one of the tabloids. The Sun is going with Coral. The Daily Mail is going with Paddy Power. The Daily Star is going with William Hill, depending on which. But so you can buy all the tabloids today. You get three free bets to the tune of £2 each. So the Daily Star, SOZ is the headline. S-O-Z. SOZ is an abbreviation for sorry. Kate's pick confession. She admits the heinous crime of being pretty dodgy at Photoshop. The paper headline, Tories delay British ISA, £5,000 tax-free savings until after the election. So this was a policy announced in last week's budget, Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor. A policy that would allow people to invest £5,000 a year tax-free in the British stock market. But this plan will be shelved until after the general election, according to the Oi. The Oi says that Chancellor Hunt wanted to introduce it immediately, but that the Treasury has now said it would be too expensive to introduce in the new financial year in April. The Guardian leads with, and we'll come back to it because it's in all the papers today, biggest Tory donor looking at Diane Abbott makes you want to hate all black women. So this is an exclusive, according to The Guardian, an allegation that the biggest donor to the Tory party, a guy called Frank Hester, told a meeting that looking at Diane Abbott, the long-serving Labour MP, made him want to hate all black women and that she should be shot. Yeah, we'll come back to that. The Daily Telegraph, Sunak's new gas plants ease risk of blackouts. We'll come back to that as well. Prime Minister says we need to build more gas power stations to avoid any risk of blackouts as the country increasingly relies on renewable energy. The Times, Johnson to join election campaign in Red Wall is the headline on the front page of The Times. It says that Boris Johnson, the former Prime Minister, is expected to campaign for the Tories in so-called Red Wall seats in the north of England and the Midlands ahead of the general election. The Times says there has been even a thawing in relations between Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak, whose resignation, of course, as Chancellor, helped to oust Johnson as Prime Minister. So that's the headline on the front page of The Times. The Daily Express exposed lies of asylum seekers who become Christian to stay in the UK. The big splash on the Express front page is about how asylum seekers are finding, are figuring out that if you lie about your religious affiliation, you can remain in the UK. We'll come back to that. The Financial Times, Telegram hits 900 million users as owner gears up for bumper market listing. That's very interesting. Telegram has been used by people. Telegram, when Telegram was launched, it was seen as a safe haven for people who had been booted off of Twitter and other social media platforms. The Telegram was a place where you could speak freely about any issue you cared to speak freely about. I've never used it myself. There is a Telegram account, but I don't use it. The Financial Times says 900 million users now, and it's so successful it might be listed on the stock market. The owner is a guy called Paul Duroff. It's based in Dubai, Telegram, and the owner has told the Financial Times that, I'm reading this now as I speak to you because I haven't read the story, it's making hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and hopes to become profitable next year. Amazing. It's making hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue but not yet profitable, and it might eventually be listed on the stock exchange. Those were the front pages. Let's look at some of the stories inside. Tuesday, March 12th. Cheltenham begins, yes. The Times then. New generation of gas power stations to keep lights on during net zero transition. Ministers will give the go-ahead for a new generation of gas power stations to provide backup electricity as Britain transitions towards net zero. Claire Coutinho, the Energy Security Secretary, will today warn the country faces a genuine prospect of blackouts without gas as a backup for renewable energy sources. She will also say that securing the UK's future energy needs will require trade-offs, and that faced with a choice between clean energy and keeping citizens safe and warm, the government will choose to keep the lights on. Labour supports the plan, pointing out that replacing gas-fired stations was not at odds with a decarbonised power system. It said the Climate Change Committee had made clear there needed to be a role for gas in a decarbonised grid to back up renewable energy in times of cold weather and low wind speeds. Now, environmental experts are saying the timing and the framing of this announcement is strange, because it is widely accepted that new gas stations would be needed to replace existing power plants under the current net zero trajectory. So this is very interesting, right? So the net zero lunatics, right, the environmental lobby, they're saying we don't know what's going on here. Why is the government saying this? We accept and acknowledge that new gas stations are necessary under the plans to hit net zero. So what is going on? I don't know is the answer. It is a strange one, isn't it? It is a strange one. We know the plan is to ultimately completely remove what they call fossil fuels from the grid, from the energy supply. So I don't know what's going on there. I'm sure you'll have your opinion, you listening to this podcast, but that is the splash, the front page of the Times, but it's also been picked up by a number of other newspapers today. Why are they coming out with this statement that we will be building? Why? I don't know. It's been known. It's not news. You wonder why. Anyway, here's a very interesting story in The Telegraph. Very interesting. Boeing whistleblower found dead is the headline. Pretty stark. A former Boeing employee who exposed alleged safety problems at the company has been found dead. John Barnett died from self-inflicted injuries in a hotel car park on Saturday in South Carolina, where he had been due to testify in a lawsuit against his former employer. The 62-year-old drew public attention to what he said were bad practices at Boeing's factory in Charleston, where he worked for 7 years as a quality control manager. He exposed alleged errors in the company's manufacturing process, claiming that employees had deliberately fitted substandard parts. Let me read that again. He exposed alleged errors in the company's manufacturing process, claiming that employees had deliberately fitted substandard parts to aeroplanes because of pressure to produce them quickly. Some of the concerns were upheld by the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, in 2017, and Boeing was forced to take remedial action. After his retirement the same year, Mr. Barnett sued the company for allegedly denigrating his character and hampering his career progression because he had identified problems at the factory. He had been attending interviews for the case in Charleston last week, but failed to turn up for a cross-examination by his own lawyers on Saturday. A Charleston County coroner confirmed yesterday that he had been found dead in his truck in a hotel car park, apparently from self-inflicted injuries. His death comes as Boeing faces intense scrutiny over its manufacturing process after a section of an Alaska Airlines plane's fuselage fell off mid-flight over Oregon in January. Amazing, this story. Boeing whistleblower found dead in a hotel car park. He'd been staying there while testifying in a lawsuit against Boeing. Now, I don't know if Boeing had anything to do with his death, but I've told a story once or twice on the Richie Allen Show. I've had the most amazing life, really, and I've met some incredible people over the years in my job as a journalist. And one particular person, you may be familiar with the Luanda trial, or you may not be. It's a trial that was held in Angola back in June of 1976, following the Angolan Civil War, or during the war. And 13 mercenaries were sentenced to prison, long prison terms in some cases, and in some cases execution by firing squad. These were soldiers trained in the UK and in the US in the 1970s, who basically became soldiers for hire, mercenaries. And they fought for the popular movement for the liberation of Angola, which was, no, they didn't. They fought for the National Liberation Front of Angola, that's right. They fought for the side backed by the United States of America, right? The National Liberation Front of Angola, the FNLA. So they were hired basically by operators working for the US military who were backing the FNLA. I'm thinking off the top of my head now, so you'll have to forgive me. And as I talk to you, it's 6:47 a.m. Right, so you had the Angolan Civil War, right? You had mercenaries, Western-trained soldiers, and some of them went to jail afterwards. Some of them were executed. Now, amazingly, during our time in Spain, we spent nearly 9 years living in Spain. My better half ran a bar. We met a group of men who began to frequent the bar. Group of three, four men in particular, right, who used to come into the bar. I was doing radio on Talk Radio Europe. I was working in Marbella. The missus had the bar. And these guys were coming in. They were nice guys, middle-aged guys, and we got talking to them. And then they started to frequent the bar. They owned apartments in Spain, and they would regularly come out to Spain. They lived in England, but they would come out to Spain to their apartments. And I know a lot about these things, right, as a journalist. And I kind of recognise one of these guys. Much to his, not to his annoyance, but he was a bit disappointed that I figured it out, because it's not something they were bragging about. And I said to one of these guys, were you one of those guys that was imprisoned in Angola? It was a big deal in the 80s, because these guys were eventually released in the early 1980s. The British government secured these guys' release, and they came back to the UK. And one of the guys said to me, yeah, we were. But we don't, you know, I don't like to talk about it. I like to be anonymous. That was grand. We got into it. We talked. We chatted. And eventually we became friendly. And I talked to him about, you know, why you would be a mercenary. And he said, look, we were young men. We were very, very well-trained young men. We were seeking, basically, our fortunes, basically. There were no wars. The British government, the British military, wasn't involved in any wars in the 1970s. And there was big, big money on offer to go out to places like Angola and fight against, you know, to basically bring down governments, basically, and do, you know. So anyway, out they went, and he said, look, we were caught, we were captured, some of our mates were executed, we were in jail, and eventually we got out. And we got to talking about soldiers of fortune and mercenaries and one thing and another. So why am I telling you this story, which I've told on the Richie Allen Show? Because one of the guys said to me, and I spoke to several of these guys, I'll never name them, but one of these guys said to me, he said, a lot of guys who do really well in the military, a lot of guys who get into, I suppose, who become commandos, like in America, like Green Berets, a lot of these guys go into business for corporations. And I said to him, like, thought he would work in security and stuff. And he said, no, Richie, they would work for corporations in terms of they would become assassins. And I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no. He said, the majority of people who work as assassins, they're not working for governments per se, although they do. Governments regularly have people killed or taken out, if you want to use that term. But for the most part, they work for corporations. It is corporations that are keeping assassins, hit men and hit women, because women do it as well. It's corporations doing it. And I said, wow. Like, which you might think you were naive back then, Richie, but not naive. I just couldn't get my head around it. And he said, and I said, so Fortune 500 companies, and he said, yes, are regularly taking people out, killing them, former employees, whistleblowers and whatnot. So I was thinking about those conversations this morning, my conversations with these guys who had been imprisoned in Angola, in the Luanda, after the Luanda trial, because they'd fought on the side of the FNLA, the American-backed militia in Angola. They'd lost, they'd been arrested, they'd gone to prison, these guys, these soldiers of fortune. And he said to me, it's corporations. And there you have this story. Of course, I have no evidence that Boeing were behind, or the company Boeing is responsible for the death of this whistleblower. But you'd have to suspect it, wouldn't you? I mean, qui bono is the question, isn't it? Who benefits? Boeing whistleblower found dead. Fascinating story in The Telegraph today. Guardian. Let's look in The Guardian. Labour calls on Sunak to return Frank Hester's £10 million Tory donation. He's the biggest donor the Tories have ever had, this guy Tony Hester. He told colleagues that looking at Diane Abbott, the Labour MP, made you want to hate all black women and she should be shot. So the chair of the Labour Party, Annalise Dodds, has written to Rishi Sunak calling for the money to be returned after The Guardian published details of his remarks. This meeting was held in 2019. The meeting this guy attended, okay? He's given 10 million. He said in the meeting he didn't hate all black women, but he said that seeing Abbott, who is Britain's longest serving black MP, seeing her on television meant you just want to hate all black women because she's there. Hmm. Wow. His lawyer, or a lawyer representing him, said the comments were not a true or accurate characterisation of his company or himself. His company is TPP, by the way. In a new statement last night, a spokesperson for Hester said he accepts that he was rude about Diane Abbott in a private meeting several years ago, but his criticism had nothing to do with her gender nor colour of skin. He's a bit stupid, this guy, Hester, who apparently has Irish ancestry. He's a bit thick because he directly referenced the colour of her skin. He said, you just want to hate all black women because she's there. So her colour, or the colour of her skin, obviously played some part in the comments he made. He says he's called her twice to try to apologise directly for the hurt he has caused, and he's deeply sorry for his remarks. Labour are trying to make hay while the sun shines. They love this, Labour. The Shadow Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, said Hester is utterly revolting, racist and insightful. His language has no place in our politics and public life. So the Labour Party want the Tories to return the $10 million that this guy Hester donated, and also, hilariously, the value of a helicopter ride provided to Sunak by Hester. At some time in the recent past, Rishi Sunak was given a helicopter ride by this guy Hester. The helicopter journey cost £15,900. Labour wants the Tories to return that money as well. Yeah. So the Express then, the big front page story on the Express front page today is exposed. How asylum seekers lie about religion and being gay to stay in the UK. So the Express has spoken to an asylum seeker. They're calling this guy a whistleblower. He's told the paper he knows migrants who have deliberately converted to Christianity to boost their chances of remaining here. The guy's name is Bilal Jaff. He claimed it was well established amongst groups of migrants coming to Britain that changing religion was an effective method for bolstering their case. The best way to get a paper, now a paper is your legal status, in Europe is if you can convert from Muslim to Christian, he told the Express. If they know you are atheist and convert there, it's not as effective. They will visit a church until they get a paper to stay in Britain. After that, they don't care and they don't go to church. The second way to boost your claim is to change your sexuality, to be gay or lesbian, or to say they identify as a different gender. Now, the Express claims that a video circulating on social media supports the claims of this man, Bilal Jaff. In the video, a man urges a devastated friend whose asylum application has been denied to convert to Christianity by telling him he knows of two others who managed to stay in the UK this way. This isn't news, really, is it? This won't come as news to anybody who pays attention to these issues, to these matters. We've known for a long time that people coming to the country who want to stay are claiming to be gay or claiming to be persecuted because of their sexuality in their own country or attempting to convert to Christianity. It's not new. The Tory MP Marco Longhi has demanded an inquiry over this, saying he was pleased he would have now the opportunity to grill church leaders in the wake of these findings. But again, it's been known for a long time. That's in the Express. The Times: Madonna apologises after telling fan in wheelchair to stand up. Poor old Madge, the queen of pop. She's been hammered on social media because she saw a person in the audience who wasn't standing up and jumping around like everybody else, and then realised the person was in a wheelchair. She's being hammered for it. You're supposed to be a fucking clairvoyant now as well. The woke mob, you're supposed to be a clairvoyant. Take this ride with me, Madonna screamed at the crowd. And then she spotted a fan sitting down. What are you doing sitting down over there? What are you doing sitting down? And then she saw the wheelchair. And she said, oh, okay, sorry about that. Politically incorrect, she said. I'm glad you're here, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough for the woke mob, for the culture warriors who like to scream about everything. I don't know what they want Madonna to do. I don't know what you're supposed to do after you make that. I've never made that mistake, but I've made other mistakes. When I was a tour guide at Waterford Crystal many, many years ago, as a young man, escorting mostly American tourists around the factory and showing them the manufacturing process, the glass blowing skill and the glass cutting skill. Amazing, amazing stuff. I asked a very, very large American woman, when was her baby due? She was lovely about it. I was mortified. Oh, honey, I'm not pregnant. Just a big fatso, basically. And I was mortified. Didn't know where to put my face. But, you know, nobody wanted me to be cancelled. So, yeah, Madonna's getting hammered on social media, accusing her of being insensitive to people with disabilities. She didn't fucking see the wheelchair. Give her a break. Give Madge a break. The Mirror. Prisoners to be released 2 months early as jails are full. Wow. Burglars and shoplifters are among prisoners who will be released 2 months early if the country runs out of spare jail cells. And you know the reason for this, dear listener? Is because they're putting people in prison who don't deserve to be there. It's a fact. Prison, in the opinion of this broadcaster, should be reserved for criminals who have committed violent acts, prisoners who have committed sexual crimes, crimes against children, crimes against women, crimes against men, sexually. But increasingly, they're putting people in prison for financial crimes. And not the people who deserve to be in prison for financial crimes, like banksters and others. No, no, no. People who can't pay bills, effectively, are going to jail increasingly. This is why fucking prisons are full, in the opinion of this BBG. Okay? So they're letting people out early. Because prisons are full. Sex offenders, convicted terrorists, Category A prisoners, and all violent offenders who are serving 4 or more years will be excluded, according to Alex Chalk. He's the Justice Secretary. Don't panic, he says. Don't panic. We're leaving people out earlier. Don't panic, but they're not really dangerous people, he says. Well, don't put fucking non-dangerous people in jail then, I would say. There's only about 2,000 spaces left in UK prisons now, according to The Mirror. And The Mirror quotes the Shadow Justice Secretary, Shabana Mahmood. She says the public will be rightly alarmed by this announcement. Maybe the public will, the public won't. Let's finish with The Telegraph. Job seekers who turn down work should be conscripted, says senior Tory MP Richard Drax. Drax. See that some harm comes to Mr. Bond. I don't know if he's related to him, Drax, from Moonraker. But he's an old fogey who used to be in the army. And this is the sort of typical bullshit we get every few months from the conservative media. Job seekers or young people who turn down jobs should be conscripted for 2 years. This is bullshit. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to happen. Drax is a member of the Commons Defence Select Committee. He said younger job seekers in particular were not prepared to contribute to our country, and the drafting them into the army could ease the worklessness crisis. More than 9 million people of working age have dropped out of the jobs market. At least 5 million of those are claiming benefits. This guy says, we can deal with this. Get them all in the army. And that'll sort them out. Richard Drax. Mr. Drax. Hello, Mr. Bond. Mr. Drax. Hello. What did they put him in? They put him in that G. I can't figure it out. That machine. You know, when astronauts or when fighter pilots are training, they have to learn how to deal with G-forces, don't they? And they stick Bond in that machine that goes round and round and round. But Bond gets out of it like he always does. Mr. Drax. Hugo, that's right. Hugo Drax. It's just come to me in a blinding flash of inspiration. Yeah, I'm all over the place this morning. Tuesday, March 12th. Let me look at the BBC News website. Hole of the Moon artist Carl Wallinger dies aged 66. That's a bit tragic, by the way. Carl Wallinger played with the Waterboys. And he's passed away. I'm a big fan of the Waterboys' music. Not a huge fan, but a big fan. Like the Waterboys' music. Mike Scott said, Carl Wallinger was one of the finest musicians I've ever known. He joined the band in 1983, played a number of instruments. He was pretty talented. Keyboard, percussion, guitar, backing vocals, and he played on the Waterboys' second and third albums. The BBC News website is also running with Gaza medics tell BBC that Israeli troops beat and humiliated them after hospital raid. Doctors have told the BBC the Israeli army blindfolded them, detained them, forced them to strip and repeatedly beat them after the Israeli Defence Forces raided a hospital. Ahmed Abu Saba, a doctor at Nasser Hospital, described being held for a week in detention, where he said muzzled dogs were set upon him and his hand was broken by an Israeli soldier. None of that surprises me. none of it surprises me at all. Here's a hilarious story. Bananas to cost more as climate warms, according to expert Pascal Liu, senior economist at the World Banana Forum. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. The World Banana Forum is a real thing. It meets in Rome today to tackle challenges facing bananas. And they are saying bananas are going to increase in price because of climate change. Gavora Gia Urring, as we say back home. Anyway, enough of that. That's the end of the papers today. Thanks for listening to it. Thanks for sharing it. I'm Richie Allen. I'm heading off now. I'm leaving you and loving you. You'll catch me today at 4 o'clock UK time for the Richie Allen Show. I'll see you there. Bye now.